Welcome, everybody, and happy Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On occasion, I get to actually maybe take a breath with our guests, especially our frequent guests and collaborators. This afternoon is going to be highlighting two such women that I really wanted to spend some more time with talking to invite you into the conversations with us. And their names are Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. She's going to be joining me for the first good bit of the 4 o'clock hour. And then right before the top of the 5 o'clock hour, very excited, I'm going to be joined by Capital Times reporter Paul Fanlon to talk about a big addition to the Idea Fest lineup that the Cap Times has been hosting for the last few years. Lots of big marquee folks already on the roster, but an even bigger one, in my opinion, added today, or at least announced today, none other than the amazing Stacey Abrams. So we're going to talk with reporter of the Cap Times, Paul Fanlon, about that. Really excited. And then at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim to have a discussion about, okay, so the biennial budget is done. What does all of this mean now? And a bigger conversation about, what do Democrats do to respond? How do we resolve good faith disputes, differences of perspective within our own party and not destroy ourselves in the meantime, not provide opportunities or easy wins for MAGA, given the stakes that are at issue nowadays in every single election cycle without exception? Angel, we're going to get to that because I want to engage that very same conversation with you as well. I think it is the question. It is certainly a question I grapple with every day when I get on the radio. How to talk about things, how to maybe give some footholds for people to engage, to disagree, to agree, but to try to keep building the tent, build bigger, maybe even better. But I wanted to start with a little bit of what I'm going to call maybe entertainment news. Two huge passings over the last 2 days. Of course, Ozzy Osbourne, the founding member, front man of Black Sabbath, passed away today at the age of 76. First OG Black Sabbath member to pass away. Man, I thought that guy, given all the hard living, I was like, he made it to 76. I figure he's going to be the George Burns of heavy metal and live for nearly forever. That passing, and of course, Malcolm Jamal Warner yesterday in a tragic drowning death off the coast, I believe, of Belize or Costa Rica. I'm forgetting the exact headline. At the ripe old age of, I think he was like 50, 51.
Yeah, something like that,
I was so shocked. I mean, Theo Huxtable was the brother that I always wanted growing up. And you grew up in the era of the Huxtables as well. And I just thought, first of all, if you had thoughts about the actor, the person, Malcolm Jamal Warner and his work, either after The Cosby Show, but also just the sort of setting aside, which is very difficult to do, Bill Cosby's complex legacy, tarnished, disgraced, however you want to put it. But that show stood for something completely separate, special, and different for, I think, at least two generations of kids. I consider myself one of them. What did it bring up for you, like hearing that he had passed away and just thinking back on all of this?
It was hard. When I saw the notification on my phone, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, especially in these days where, you know, there's AI and fake news and people get killed off like all the time. And I was like, wait, what? Because it just seems, you know, so shocking. And I think everybody kind of had those flashbacks to the Huxtables and Theo. Yeah. And it was, you know, either it was the brother you wish you had or, you know, the guy that you kind of crushed on, your TV crush a little bit. But I also feel that, like, he just had a warm, I mean, I've obviously never met the man.
Yes.
But he's just very warm and very kind and, you know, very much for the culture and for the Black community. And I think also understanding what the Cosby Show meant for so many people. There was this positive, you know, nuclear type of family that was successful. And you saw this portrayed in a sitcom in a very beautiful way of like their family unit together, you know, in the age of Full House and, yes, you know, all in Friends and all of these different things, right? It was good to see, you know, The Cosby Show and, you know, all these other kind of Black TV shows. But I think, you know, again, putting the reputation of Bill Cosby aside, you saw kind of that family unit, and they don't really make shows like that anymore, you know, that and like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and being able to see a positive Black family unit be celebrated on TV, and to know that he had a hand in that, it just feels like a big hole of our childhood is gone a little bit.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, Blackish from Anthony Edwards, and there's other mm-hmm. shows out there. I love Wanda Sykes' program, but that's on a streaming service. What I think you're speaking to was the fact that was must-watch television. Mm-hmm. It was on one of the major networks. There were no streaming services back then. Everybody I knew, everybody watched The Cosby Show and watched the arc of these young people growing up. Right. And there was something about the longevity of the program mm-hmm. and the relationships that we all got to have, especially with the young people. Right. Like that was really what drove that show. There was this rock, this relationship, of course, between Felicia Rashad and her character and Bill Cosby and his Dr. Huxtable. Right. And she was Attorney Huxtable. Mm-hmm. That was certainly a big part of that. But for me, it was this like deep emotional investment in these characters and their journey of becoming young adults. And mm-hmm. I was at that sweet spot of age where like a couple of the kids were just older than me and a couple just younger than me. Mm-hmm. And so I got to then watch when they shot, you know, like when A Different World started and these offshoots from that. And just, I was nostalgically very shockingly sad when I didn't think that I would have reacted that way, but it really hit kind of hard. And I think a lot of folks do this. I wonder if you experience this from time to time as well. Again, nostalgia forgets a lot of the bad, or it like, you know, sort of lionizes this very uncomplicated picture that we had back then. And in the context of current day politics, like would that show even get made?
Probably not. Let's be real. If it did, you know, it would be
on
protested
Friday,
or
Trump.
It would be too woke, or, you know, MAGA
something.
Would get a hold of it in some way. Right. And so it's, you don't see those types of shows where you feel like you're an extended part of the family, even, you know, every time you sit down and watch with your own family and what that was and the lesson at the end of each show. And I wish there were more, not just on streaming services. Like, I feel like I rarely watch regular TV shows that come on week to week. I'm rewatching whatever on Netflix these days, and it's great, but it's not to the same audience. It's an audience that you have to like opt into, right? Versus, oh, this is what comes on, you know, ABC every Tuesday at 7, right? It's more of a mainstream, broad audience that you just don't see that space like that anymore.
Yeah, well, RIP to both Malcolm Jamal Warner and Ozzy Osbourne, and condolences to their families. These were two totally different universes.
Yeah.
Like foundationally important people in so many people's lives. Really, really sad. Also in breaking news just this afternoon, a panel of federal judges has rejected former Trump defense attorney Alina Haba as continuing on as an acting U.S. attorney for New Jersey. In addition, on the Epstein front, Mike Johnson has effectively shut down the House of Representatives for the summer to avoid them having to take potentially uncomfortable Like, why is this an uncomfortable vote about Jeffrey Epstein? It's not. It's a pretty easy vote. But that going on. And this announcement today, which got my eyebrow way up in the air, was that Todd Blanche announcing via X, of course, Todd Blanche working as the Solicitor General, I believe, apparently is going to be sitting down with Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's co-defendant is the best way to put it. Pimp? No, pimp's wrong. Wrangler, perhaps trafficker. Yes, that might work too. What exactly might Todd Blanche and Ghislaine Maxwell be talking about? Pardon?
What's the goal
anybody
here?
Pardon?
Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? That's all I have. It's like, what are we doing? What's the goal? Who asked for this?
Yes.
I don't understand.
It's so strange. And just job title correction. He is the Deputy Attorney General, working, of course, with Pam Bondi. Just creepy. I've been slowly trying to figure out how I want to talk about what's going on in Epstein, because it's in Epstein Gate, because it's so big and it's so pervasive. And I'm going to revisit it some more, but I feel like I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of it every single day. Ugh. Just a couple of other headlines and we'll take care of some business. Then Angela and I and you are going to engage in the hard talk, which is we all have a different political bend. How do we come together to really ensure that Democrats win and that we win in service of making life better for working people? What does that look like? Are they policies that we can universally get behind? How do we make these things tangible for real folks? We're going to discuss that with Angela and you on the other side. Get your calls and questions and comments ready. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Just a couple other headlines, Angela. Wanted to get a quick reaction or two. Apparently, a shirtless man was attempting to open Priscilla Pratto's door. She is a state representative from Milwaukee. There's not much more than that, but that's creepy.
That's the whole article. It's like, weird.
Here's half-naked dude on her ring.
Weird picture. Too. I don't know. I'm gonna get
yes.
it. Yes. I have questions.
You shouldn't have. Please don't be knocking on your state representatives. No, that's a bad look for you. This guy especially.
Weird.
Don't do it. Very strange. Also, the Trump administration could delay or cut $140 million in funding for overdose data to action grant, which will be hitting rural communities in their prevention of overdose deaths hardest in the state of Wisconsin. Some communities worried that their prevention collaborations will have to shut down. We're going to leave it there. We'll be right back on the other side after these brief messages. The conversation continues. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Angela Lang. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.